Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Well, you're still standing, so stay standing. We're going to pray. Sorry, I'm booming here. Is that me or you? Right. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Let's pray. Let's just pray for a minute. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that we're in a new day. We thank you, Lord, we're in a new day. Father, we thank you. You're pouring out, Lord, your grace, Lord, and your spirit, Lord, on your people today, Lord. Lord, we welcome you, what you want to do in our lives, in your church, in your bride, Lord. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but there's something going on in my spirit. It's like God is just so stirring me, just so stirring me. It's been going on for weeks and weeks. There's such a stir and such a cry in my spirit. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Which one am I using? Okay, take a seat. Take a seat. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so excited because I don't know, just such a sense in my spirit of God on the move in the earth. Just so on the move. And if you turn to Haggai, and I've been in this, these few verses in here that I've been in for a while. But this week, God really, I just read the whole thing. God really just started speaking to me about what he wants to do, what he is doing in the earth. And because I was buzzing about it and talking to Clive, he's like, okay, you can preach on Sunday then. So you just wish you'd keep your mouth shut, you know. But how many know you can't? When God's doing something on the inside of you, you just can't keep it. You can't keep it in, can you? You can't keep it. You can't squash down what God's saying and wanting to, you know, it's going to come out. So, come on. I think we don't have to just be amazing, whatever's to look what's going on in the earth and know that there's some horrendous, horrendous stuff going on. The tsunami a couple of years ago and Burma a few weeks ago, and then the earthquake in China. And on the news last night, they were saying like 80, it could be 80,000 now in China, wiped out. Just in one go, a few seconds. In 2 weeks, we've lost over 100, well over 100,000 people in one go. And if you look at the economies in the earth and the financial systems and everything is shaking. Nothing is the same as it was. Nothing is the same as it was a few weeks ago. Nothing is changing. It's all changing. It's all shifting. It's shifting around us. It's all shifting. And in Haggai, you know, these are the scriptures that talk about the Lord shaking the earth. That's what he says he will do. And he doesn't want all these people to die. But the earth is falling apart at the seams. God isn't doing that. The earth is falling apart at the seams. And but he, at the same time, is on the move. He's pouring out his spirit all over the earth. He's on the move. And he's encouraging his people. He wants to encourage us this morning. He wants to encourage us and strengthen his church. Strengthen us that we stand. We stand so strong and so firm on Jesus in these times. Because we are the only ones that can stand firm in these times. We are the only ones that can stand firm. We have the solid rock, Jesus Christ. That's who we stand on. Our security, our peace, our prosperity, everything alone is in him. He alone is our solid rock. And God was talking to me about this church, not just about you know, the church in, you know, in the whole in the earth. And I guess it continues in this whole theme of being devoted, where God has taken us in the last couple of months, being devoted to him, being devoted to one another, and that we're, you know, a kingdom faith. And what God just, you know, showed me is Pastor Colin has laid a foundation that we all stand on, and Pastor Colin's, you know, teaching in Christ Jesus is who we are in Christ is the truth. It's the truth that we all have received, and we stand on it. That is our foundation here at Kingdom Faith, and that is what we preach. That is who we are, and it's a solid. Is a solid foundation that cannot be shaken, and it will never be removed. They are our foundations. Have you just imagined this? You know, this stage here is Kingdom Faith's is the foundation stone for what God wants us to build on. Okay, the foundations of this church are Pastor Colin, his teaching, and the truth of who we are in Christ. And that book in Christ Jesus, you know, everybody in the church needs to read that. If you join the church, you need to read that book, because that is who we are. That is our foundation. Everything that gets built from now on, everything that God wants to do, that is the foundation. That is our rock, okay? That is our who we are in Christ. We need to so know that. You need to so have that in your spirit, who you are in Christ. And what he's done in you and for you to stand secure in these days. And the influence that Pastor Colin had, and still has, the influence all over the earth. Whatever nation you go to, somebody's heard of Pastor Colin. Somebody has read one of his books. The influence that one man, being obedient, one man getting up in the early hours of every morning to be with God. That obedience and that surrender and the influence he has had. And if you can imagine the foundation that we, like this platform. And God said to me, he said, just think what influence the church that is built on that foundation can have in the earth. And I'd never seen it like that before, that the foundation we are on, what God wants to now build, is far greater than I think I've ever imagined. And it's us. It's us. It's us, church, the church that God is building on this solid, huge foundation that has impacted so many, you know, so many lives, 40 years in ministry. That it has moved this nation from charismatic, if you like, or pre-charismatic, it wasn't even spirit-filled. Pastor Colin got spirit-filled. And the influence, and I'm here because of him. I got saved because of him and his teaching. And I'm sure many of us here have. But it's time to build. It's time to build something so great for the glory of God here. And each one of you that are here, and anyone out there under the sound of my voice, God wants to build something so far, far, far greater than you've ever dared dream, ask or imagine. And collectively, the influence we can have, collectively, the influence of this church in this nation. If you think how Pastor Colin has affected this nation, God wants to build for the future of this nation, for the next generation. God always builds and invests for the next generation. We are not here for our own little 20, 30, 40 years. If you're in this church, we're going to be building. We're building for the next generation. We're building for this nation to come in. A great church. We're a good church, but we're not a great church. Not yet. Not yet. But we're going to be. And it's not me. It's not Clive. It's all of us. It's my kids. It's God's insured. An Urquhart is going to be running this place for till Jesus comes back. Okay? It's the generations. It's the assurance that he's going to continue building. As long as there's an Urquhart running this church, you're going to be building. You're going to be challenged. We're going to be moving on. And I love it where John the Baptist said, in John 3, he said, where the bridegroom is, the bride is. Where Jesus is going, what God wants to do, we're going to be in there. We're going to be in there because it's for the sake of this nation and the nations. Amen. Okay, so Haggai, let's turn there. It's three books back from Matthew, in case you're wondering. Okay, Haggai 1. God's saying it's time to build. He wants to build his church, a strong church in the earth. And although the shakings are going on, we have such a solid foundation to build on. Amen? In Haggai 1, in verse 3, now these guys, Haggai was talking to Zerubbabel and Jeshua, and they were in Jerusalem. They were there to rebuild the temple that had been torn down, and they built the altar. You can read that in Ezra. They'd built the altar to worship. They'd got that far, okay, and the foundations, they were being built, but God was taking them on to the next step, saying, come on, guys, it's time to build the temple. It's time to build the church. And they'd stopped for persecution and just all the opposition that was coming against them. They'd stopped for about 15 years, and God was saying, right, come on, guys, it's time. He says in verse 2, the Lord Almighty says, the people are saying the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house, the temple. So the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider how things are going for you. And these guys, you know, they had money, because in other versions it talks about paneled housing. Now they were going up to Lebanon to get the wood to decorate their own houses. Right, so, and that was an expensive thing to do. So they were going up to Lebanon, getting the wood because they didn't have it in Israel, decorating their houses. And God says, consider how things are going for you. You've planted much but harvested little. You have food to eat, but it's not enough. You have wine to drink, but not enough to satisfy you. You have clothing to wear, but not enough to keep you warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. There was no satisfaction and no fruit from building their own homes, lives, security, future, etc. Do we ever feel like that? It's not satisfied. You know, we keep eating and drinking and it's just not, we're not satisfied. We've got money, but it doesn't seem to bear fruit for us, you know. And This is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider how things are going for you. Okay? Or another version, give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. Just think for a minute about your life. What you do with your time, with your finances. Are we investing in our own houses or holidays or cars or whatever? And it's not that we don't need these things, we do, but there's a priority shift here that God's talking about. He says, now go up into the hills and bring down timber and build my house. And I really believe that we're in a time where we need to build what's important to God. And we are important to God, but Matthew 6, verse 33 says, seek first his kingdom. Amen. You seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all else is added to you. All else is added to you. Amen. And that's a real trust issue. Seek first his kingdom. Invest in his kingdom. Give time to his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek righteousness in our lives. And all else is added to us. Yeah. And he says, doesn't he? Test me in this. Test me. You test God and you'll see him come through. He says, because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord Almighty, why are you all busy building your own places? And, you know, there's parts of this, you know, we can look at this, you know, aspect of the building and it looks great and it looks flash and it looks all together. But you don't have to look too deep, actually, in the rest of the building to know that, and up at Rothy, that quite literally it's in ruins. Okay? And for Clive and I and the leadership and everything, we, the guys, we're, you know, this is something that we're like, yeah, we've got to address this. We are addressing this. We are, Clive set his face like flint. We are addressing this. This does not honour the Lord. We need to get this sorted. But it's all of us collectively. There are aspects of the buildings that seriously need doing up. And you know, God is talking about more. He's talking about more buildings than what we've got. He's talking about a greater building to meet in. Okay, he's talking future. He's talking building and investing for the kingdom in this nation, for his church. He's talking greater than we've been thinking. He's talking greater than where we're at. And so first of all, we're going to get in order what we have got. We need to get in order what we do own. And look after it and sort it out, because it's not honouring to the Lord. A lot of it isn't. And Clive's going to just share in a while some real practical areas where we need to get it sorted. He is talking buildings that we don't yet see. We see them in here because he's speaking. He's talking vision. He's talking growth. He's talking expansion. He's talking influence. And so we're going to deal with the ruins that we've got already and see new. Amen. Okay. The priorities in our lives. Go up into the hills. And he's like, you know, what do we pray about? You know, when you go up to him, is it just for yourself? Is it just so you can get through your day? Just so you can survive? Is it just because you want more from him? Or do you go up to him for others? Every area of our lives, God is challenging to build in prayer for others, to build in prayer for the youth, to build in prayer for the lost. We don't go up into the hills for ourselves and for our own sanity. Yes, we do that, but it's not all we do. Do we invest time to pray? Not just our half hour slot in the morning, even if it's that long, you know. This is hours for souls. Church. This is like hours for those who could be wiped out at any moment. You know, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. And but for some people, he came 2 weeks ago. For some people, that's it. We don't wait for Jesus to arrive and for it all to end. For hundreds of thousands of people, it ended. Life ended last week. And it's going to continue. The word says it's going to get worse before he comes back. And those people need saving. They need saving. And our prayers and our action can save a life. Can see him come into the kingdom. Okay, let's move on. moving on to chapter 1, verse 12. It says, Zerubbabel and Jeshua, when they heard the word of the Lord, the whole remnant of God's people obeyed the message from the Lord their God that had been delivered, and they worshipped him in earnest. There was a fear of God on them, that they obeyed and they worshipped immediately. God says, I am with you. And the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel and Jeshua, the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people. And they came and they began their work on the house of the Lord Almighty. Now he sparked their enthusiasm. When I read that, it was like, you know, other versions, and it's like, probably yours, they were stirred. And God is stirring our spirits. He is stirring us. He's stirring his church. If you haven't felt stirred already, you're going to feel stirred. Believe me, God is going to stir you. He wants to spark enthusiasm in you. And that it talks of being awakened. It talks of our eyes being opened. Church, for the eyes of the church to be opened to see Lord Almighty and what he's up to and to be stirred into action. And it says roused into action. And it speaks of the arm of the Lord being awakened and roused into action. The arm of the Lord roused into action. Do you know you're the arm of the Lord in this nation? You are the arm of the Lord in this nation. And he says in his word, he wants to do glorious acts. Yes. Glorious acts. You are the arm of the Lord in this nation. And he wants to rouse us, you and I, into action. Into greatness. To build. Okay. And it says, they began to work. They began to work. And it says in chapter 2, verse 4, take courage, Zerubbabel. Take courage. Take courage, Jeshua. Take courage. Take courage. It means take courage. It means be alert. And it means be strong. He's saying to the church, take courage. Be strong. Be alert and work. Now, it's not to say that we aren't, because we are. We are, because we're all like, how can I do more? How can I do more? I'm so busy. How can I give more time? How can I, you know, I need more, I want to give more finances, but I haven't. But God says, we can. We can. He wants to build us. He wants to stretch us. He wants to stretch and expand our capacity in every area of our lives. To give more. To give more financially. To sow more into what he's saying about the future. To give of our time. Are we busy? Are we too busy with other stuff? Do we need more busy with kingdom stuff? I don't know. This is what God's chucking this at us. This is not, I'm not like, you know, you. This is us. This is challenging. This is our hearts, our lives, our response as individuals and as a couple, as a leadership, as a family. But it's about, he says, take courage and work. And, you know, we can look at, you know, what's going on the God Channel at the moment. The healing revival in Florida is just awesome to watch. Just awesome. It's so encouraging. The body all over the earth is watching. Well, not all, but a lot are. A lot are being encouraged. A lot are being strengthened. And a lot are getting saved. And a lot are getting healed. But, you know, and we can say we want that. And we do. I mean, God is healing. God is healing. We are anointed to heal. Come on. We don't have to go over there. We are anointed to heal. But, you know, the church that are hosting that, they're not sitting in there receiving every night. It's others that are coming. The church that are hosting that. And I was speaking to somebody who went over there, a leader in a church, recently, and they went to the meetings in the morning, because there are meetings in the mornings and the evenings. And the leader of the church was taking the morning ones, just explaining how the church are coping. Because if God chose to pour out his glory, however he chooses to use us, however he chooses to move, it's hard work. The church that are hosting that 50 nights on the trot. Is that what you want? Oh, it's gone quiet. but do you know, this is a reality. It's hard work. We would be here if it happened this way, okay, and how it is over there, 50 nights, 50 days on the trot. Worship guys, same worship guys, 50 days on the trot. Sound guys, you lot, hosting, serving. You would not be here receiving, you would be working. God pouring out his spirit is work. And that is why God says, be strong. These guys could not do it without the grace of God, which is what he wants to pour out. I mean, Todd Bentley, bless him, He looks as fresh and as vibrant and as excited as the day it began. It is the grace of God. But it's hard work for everyone involved hosting it. And that's the church. We wouldn't be in there receiving. You would receive, but you'd be working. And we have to be careful when we say that's what we want to see. Because what are you saying you want to see? You want to sit in meetings for 50 nights? Or do you want to serve? You want to serve all those that are coming in that are broken, that are lost, that are desperate, that need amazing miracles. That's what it means, church. It's hard work. And that's why God says, be strong, be alert, take courage, because where we're going is hard work. It is hard work. That's our future. There's grace, there's joy, there's miracles, but our lives are to be sown for others to receive them. Is this okay? Okay, he says, so do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Okay, in verse 6, turn over to verse 6. For this is what the Lord Almighty says. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth. I will shake the oceans and the dry land too. I will shake all the nations. Okay? God is in control of what is going on. He is in control. And as horrible as it all is, and we can't always understand, he is in control. And as a church, you know, we need to know that. We so need to know that he is in control, that he is Lord, that he is up to something. He has plans and purposes that will be outworked, okay? Our economy, the financial system, everything in America. God have mercy. You know, God have mercy. But he is in control. And the next verse, he says, I will shake the nations. And it says, now, I don't know if it says in your version, the desired of the nations will come to this temple. In my version, it says the treasures of the nations will come to this temple. And the desired bit there, it can speak of different things. It talks of people coming, in the shaking, shakings, many people turn to God. Many. Those that he's called and chosen, they will come. They will come to him. Okay? The word speaks also of the Jews. When God shakes the nations, the Jews choose to go home. That is all God's plan and purpose. They choose to go home because for them it's going to be the safest place. God shakes the nations so that his desired come forth. Okay? It also does speak of his treasure. And he was talking of wealth coming to his temple. When he shakes, and this is, you know, this is key for us to understand, because he goes on to say that all the silver and all the gold is his. So we don't have to be afraid when, you know, food prices are going up, oil prices are going up. Everything around us is shifting and changing, but we don't have to be afraid. God says, do not be afraid. All the silver and gold is mine. And we need to know this, church. If God is telling us to build and give and invest more, he's in control. All the silver and gold, it says it will come to his temple. It will come to him. It will come to build. What he wants to build here, he will send. He will draw it from you, if you've got it. And he will bring others. And that whole passage, when I got into that, speaks of the three wise men, you know, when they came to Jesus. Okay? The three wise men, these wise men, see a sign in the sky that a baby has been born. Okay? But the sign is, to them, it's the king has been born. So these three wise men, okay, say wise. They get some very, very expensive gifts to bring him. Okay, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I've been sort of just looking into them over the, you know, on the internet and stuff, because, you know, you can think, you know, like the little stable, and they come with these three boxes, you know, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but don't know what on earth they are and all the rest of it. But they were all as expensive as each other, apparently. They were very, very expensive. Anointing oil and the gold as well. Only ever used to anoint kings, only used for kings and to worship God. They used it to worship God. And also the myrrh, you know, it was involved in, you know, embalming bodies, and they say that's why it was a prophetic gift, because of what Jesus was going to do. He's going to die. And they saw all this, okay? So they bring these very expensive, their wealth, to a baby born in a stable. Poverty. Poverty. But that is so, you know, that's so prophetic. It's so prophetic that when everything around us looks like it's going backwards and financially is going wrong, we would be wise, okay, to give. We would be wise to invest our lives in the future. We would be wise to bring our best to Jesus. Amen. If we have a seed, we don't eat that seed. If you want something to grow, you plant it and you sow it and you give it and you watch God water it. You see, and God will. Anything you sow in faith, God will bring you a hundredfold. He will. We bring our best. And everything about this church at the moment is in its infancy. In one sense, like this, you know, the foundation's laid, that took years and it took work. And a lot of prayer. But what God wants to build is actually at the moment in its infancy. We have a remnant of young people. We have a remnant. A tiny seed. But you know, God's promise is that the greatest expression, this was a prophetic word from James Maloney, the greatest expression of kingdom faith is going to be through its young people. And that is a promise that God is going to see happen. That we say, yes, God, and we are going to invest. We're going to see that. But it means we invest our lives and our hearts and our time into seeing that happen. And they could very well end up with this building. This will be theirs. This will be the youth building. We'll be in a bigger one up the road. Okay? But at the moment, it's a baby. But we don't think, oh, it's just a baby, I'm not going to bother. We say, no, I'm going to give my best. I'm going to worship Jesus with the best I've got to see this promise come about, to see this baby become a king, to see this remnant grow up into a mighty church. Thank you, Jesus. It's not just the youth. There are promises, so many promises that God wants to do in this nation through this church, through you. Through our kids. Through our kids. Through the next. God will always ensure the next generation are up and running. We're not leaving them ruins. We're not leaving them a remnant. We're going to build for what God wants to, how God wants to use them. I'm preaching to myself here. Is that all right? I'm not yelling at you. I'm not yelling at you, honestly. Say wise men. Say it. Wise men invest in the kingdom. Come on. I need to move on. In this place, he says he's going to pour out his glory. Verse 9, the future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord Almighty. We are going to see the glory of God. We are going to see the glory of God. Okay, but it's not for us. However, he wants to pour it out so that others see his glory. They see his goodness. They see it manifest. We're going to see it manifest. And it may not be, you know, it may not be how it is in Florida. You know, that's a particular anointing. It's a healing anointing. But, you know, these next few... Oh, hang on, I'm skipping a bit. Hang on. The end of verse 9 says, in this place I will bring peace. Okay, our inheritance in shaking is peace. It's peace. It's peace in him. He alone is our security. He alone is our rock. It's peace. Okay, and that peace speaks of wholeness. Wholeness. And he longs to pour out his spirit so that his people are whole. He makes us whole. Whether that's a healing we need physically, emotionally, mentally. Wholeness is like a well-being in every area of our lives. This is for us. This, we have this. This is what we have in Jesus. Peace, wholeness in every area. Okay? And the wholeness and the righteousness, being right with God, we have that. Jesus accomplished that for us. Righteousness we have. And righteousness is what he wants to see in this nation. Righteousness is what? This is what God wants to see in us. In us. Righteousness. And in our nation. Holiness. And this next few verses talks about holiness. He said, the prophet said to him, this is what the Lord Almighty asks. Ask the priest this question about the law. If one of you is carrying a holy sacrifice in his robes and happens to brush against some bread or stew or wine or oil or any other kind of food, will it become holy? And they said, no. And I was just reading these few verses thinking, I don't understand this, God. What? You know, I can't just skip a bit because I don't understand it. What are you saying, you know? And I read, I think it's the Amplified, it says that holiness is not transferable. They knew, the Jews knew, that just because they were holy, even if they brushed against somebody else or something else, doesn't make it holy. Holiness is not transferable. Now, anointing is, and blessings are. We have those here from because of Pastor Colin, the heritage we have. There's an anointing here to see a move in certain things. There's an anointing in Florida at the moment, a healing anointing that can be imparted. So if you've been there, you need to be imparting what you've received, okay? It's an anointing that impart, you know, anointing you can impart, but holiness you can't. You can't. And we can't be here because of Pastor Colin and everything that's gone before us and think we're going to see something happen. No. No. An anointing is passed on and blessings are and promises are. But our own response to Jesus Christ, holiness, our own holiness is the response from each one of us. Righteousness that he wants to see in this nation. righteousness and justice in operating in our lives alone is a personal decision from each one of us that God will constantly bring us to. He is holy. He is a holy God. Now, these healings are amazing and they're encouraging, but they won't change a nation. If healings changed a nation, Jesus would not have had to have died on the cross. They had more healings than we've ever seen. It doesn't change a nation. Jesus died that righteousness and holiness established in each one of us. That's the price we pay. We come to him. Lord, do it in me. Do it in me. Righteousness will be seen in this nation in us. Justice, they are the things that build the kingdom. That is what the kingdom is built on, righteousness and justice. It's built on it like pillars. And this church is going to be a church that is seen, that affects people's lives through righteousness and justice. And those are the areas where God would want us to be involved. Areas where he wants to see his righteousness in the world. Where does he call you to work? To see righteousness established. To see justice established. For the unborn. For the abused. For the poor. That's his kingdom. And that's what we want to see here. And happening from this place. He needs a holy people. He doesn't choose to move on his own. He can't. He moves through a holy people. When we live righteous lives, when we are seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness for our lives and for others, when we are obedient to his call to build, he goes on to say in verse 19, he says, I'm giving you a promise while the seed is still in the barn. And we have promises at Kingdom Faith. There are wells in this nation, you know, that God wants to unearth and dig up. Wells. He's moved here in this nation. We have promises. We have a heritage in God. He says, while the seed is still in the barn, before you have harvested and produced these crops, from this day onward, I bless you. We are blessed people. We are a blessed people, and he promises on you today, on you now, blessings. Amen. You are blessed. Okay, if we just go on to verse 21, it talks again about the shakings. I'm shaking the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow royal thrones. Destroy the power of foreign kingdoms. I will overturn their chariots and charioteers. The horses will fall and their riders will kill each other. But when this happens, says the Lord Almighty. You know, and each time it calls him the Lord Almighty or the Lord of hosts or the Lord of the armies. You know, we'd get such a strength from the Lord Almighty. Okay? That he is in control. That he is sovereign. When this happens, says the Lord Almighty, I will honour you. You are honoured. And he wants to honour you. He wants you to know that you are honoured. He wants you to know whatever happens in the future, he honours you. He honours you. He says, my servant, I will treat you like a signet ring on my finger. Okay, and that signet ring, and you said it when you prayed just before we came up, his sovereign presence. Okay, signet ring is his sovereign presence and his authority. And you know, the ring was imprinted to say that this was the king's. It's imprinted in soft wax to say this is mine. This is from the king. This carries my authority. You carry his authority in the earth today. You're the only ones that do. We carry God's authority. What we bind is bound. What we loose is loosed. We have his authority. We have his divine presence. His sovereign presence with us. You have his sovereign presence with you. For every situation, you have his authority. You have his sovereign presence. Every situation you walk into that you face, every person, every obstacle, you have sovereign presence and authority. And we're to use it for his glory. Not for us to feel good, but to walk out there and use it. To pray for the sick. To bind and loose in prayer. To see people saved. We have it. You're marked. You are marked. We are a marked people. And wherever we go, we can mark. We leave an imprint. We leave that imprint on others' lives. And he says, the last line, I've specially chosen you. You are specially chosen for this season. You're specially chosen for now. You're specially chosen and called to work. But we work with his sovereign presence. We work with his sovereign authority. We work strengthened and encouraged that he is in control and he longs to pour more of himself into us. He longs to reveal more of himself to us and encourage us and love us and give to us. He will bring many to us. Because you know, when the wise men looked, you know, and saw the signs in the sky, and God says, you know, what Jesus said in, wherever it was, when he was talking about in the end times and talking about, I think it's Matthew 24, him returning, there will be signs in the sky. And people are going to see God is on the move. And they need to know where to go. And that is why God wants us to be such a people of influence and be seen, because they know where to come. All the people we have touched over the last 20, 30 years in this area, they're going to know when to come, when they need to. They're going to come. And God says he's going to bring them. Wise people. They're going to look for him. They're going to come. And they're going to come. They're going to come with everything they have and give it to the Lord. They're going to come with what they own. They're going to worship the Lord. And it's a challenge to us to bring everything, everything in our lives afresh to him. This devotion, you know, surrender to build his kingdom, to build this church to a great church, a great church for his glory, for the next generation. Amen. Shall we stand? Right, I think we need to respond. What do you reckon? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Just talk to the Lord. You've heard this morning. Let's just talk to the Lord, yeah? Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Lord, you are holy. You are holy. You are holy, Lord. You are holy. Lord, you are holy. Lord, 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 you are Lord Almighty. You are Lord Almighty. And you are on the move. You are on the move, Lord. You are on the move in this earth, Lord. You are on the move. Oh, Lord, you long to pour out your spirit, Lord. You are pouring out your spirit all over the earth. All over, Lord. You're pouring out your grace, Lord. You're pouring out your grace. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace being poured out this time. Lord, we thank you for your healings. We thank you for deliverances, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the lost being saved, Lord, all over the earth today. We thank you, Jesus, that you will build your church, Lord. Lord, that you want your bride to get ready for you, Lord. You're coming back for a glorious bride, Lord, that will be seen. And Lord, our heart's response this morning is yes, Lord. Lord, build this church. Build this church here, Lord. And I'm in. I'm in, God. I'm in, God. Lord, whatever it costs for your kingdom to advance in this town, Lord, whatever it costs, personally, my finances, my time, my prayer life. God, you know this is what you've been saying, what you've been challenging me with, God. Yes, Lord. If this is your response and you say, yes, Jim, I can't do that for you. Jesus, to build, Lord, for what you see. Help us to see, Lord, what you see. Lord, rouse us, Lord, to action. Lord, that we would be your strong right arm in this nation. We would see glorious acts performed for your glory, Lord. Jesus. Lord, we would seek first your kingdom. We would seek first your righteousness in our lives and in this nation. And then all else is added to us. Lord, that we live for the eternal. We live for the eternal, not the temporal, Lord. We live for the eternal, Jesus. You have a place for us to go to that is going to be more than we could ever ask or imagine. But Lord, our focus would be here. Our focus would be the kingdom. Our focus would be you being glorified in this church. And Lord, we thank you for this awesome foundation that we have at Kingdom Faith. We thank you, Lord, for the amazing blessings, the amazing anointing, and the truth, Lord, that we stand on, the truth that has set us free. But Lord, we want more. Lord, we want this church built on this, Lord. A great church, Lord, that would touch thousands of lives, Jesus. That would change thousands of lives, Jesus. Righteousness established that a nation can be touched, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for every promise there is in the shaking. The prosperity for your people. That we can be secure in you, Jesus. Secure in you, Jesus. That as we give, you give back. All the silver and gold is yours, Lord. We can never outgive you, Lord Jesus. We can never outgive you, Lord. We can never pay more than you ever paid, Lord. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for every blessing. Thank you for peace. Thank you for your peace for every one of us as we work. We thank you for wholeness. We thank you for wholeness. We thank you for the holiness you want to outwork in us, Lord. And we thank you for the walk you have set before us. And we thank you for the work of building that you have set before us, that you challenge us with. We thank you, there's nothing more satisfying. Nothing more satisfying than living for you. 100%. Nothing more satisfying than living 100% to serve your kingdom, Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that stirring. We will see. We will see what you see. Thank you for stirring us, Lord. Stir us, Lord, individually, each one of us, Lord. Our part to play. Our part to play, Lord. Our part to build. Our part, Lord, put it in us, Lord. Put it in us, Lord. Put that excitement in us, Lord, of what part to play. Who are we going to invest in? Who are we going to build up? Who are we going to lay down our lives for? Who are we going to pray for in the night hours? Who are we going to lay down our lives for? Lord, put that excitement in us. Stir us up, Lord Jesus. Give us your heart. Give us your cause, Lord. Put it in our spirit, Lord. That we live for your cause. We live for those who are on your heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.